A Thought for Your Penny is hosted by Shauna and Squeaky and explores ways to save money and tips to avoid scams, all while they share their own stories along the way. Get in touch by calling 970-425-3060 or emailing penniespod@gmail.com.
Hey everybody, it's a Thought for Your Pennies podcast, and we're going to be talking to you today a story about driving, and I'm here with Squeaky.
Hey, how's it going, Shauna?
It's going pretty good. Yeah, so I wanted to talk about driving because I think there's going to be a couple of stories about driving, because this one is just going to be about my mom's driving. Because when you grow up with your parents driving, I don't know if this is the way you thought, but the way I thought is the way my mom drove is the way everybody drives. I thought
mainly
it was very normal to crash your car like every year or two.
Interesting.
Years or so.
The way my father drove was randomly slamming on the brakes and shouting new cusses I'd never heard before as a small child.
Yeah, see, my mom was not paying that much attention, or I don't know. I didn't know that, you know, some people get a new car every few years, brand new. Some people like to lease, so they get a new car that way. Some people like to buy a car brand new and hold on to that car for like 15, 20 years, like long after the car is no longer safe and probably polluting.
That's me and my dad. That's me and my dad.
Okay, so that's you all holding on to it forever. Like you drive it and then after the 15, 20 years, you get a new one. But oh yeah.
When you're done with your story, ask me about how my dad can turn a car into a pizza.
Okay. No, go ahead and tell how your dad turned a car into a pizza. Yeah.
He had an 84 Cutlass Supreme.
Okay.
This is an old, old car. I was born in 83. So my whole childhood, it was an old car. Whenever I was forming memories, it was an old car, right? Because those 80s cars did not keep together. Parts fell off. Hubcaps came off. The wipers stopped working. They didn't make wipers for it anymore. The paint was all chipping. The fuel gauge stopped working, so we'd run out of gas. And this is when I learned you could use gasoline antifreeze to make a car go. And he did that several times. And I was still like in a booster seat, right? That's how big I was, right? For this. And eventually, I'm like 10 or something when finally the car just like stops moving. I'd be like, oh man, everything was busted. The roof was coming unglued. So it was like, or the ceiling was coming unglued.
The billowing coming down. Yeah,
the windshield had cracks that aren't legal anymore. Just everything, right? Finally it couldn't move because the two front wheels would go different directions.
See, so that sounds like, so the way my mom bought cars was the junker approach, which is you buy the car where you know you're the last owner.
Okay.
So the advantages to this were like, you know, you could buy it outright. If you had some common sense car skills, you could like spot a lemon, you could, you know, make the minor repairs and avoid costly car repair shop bills. If your kids trash the car, doesn't matter. If you bump it, ding it, you're not really trying to keep it nice anyway. The downside was the car was probably unreliable, but it was fine.
And your exit strategy, you have two exit strategies. You have what most people do and what my dad did. You either get to the point where you've decided it's not worth the repair bill for this mode of transportation anymore.
Yep.
And then my dad, the pizza.
Right. He turned it into a pizza.
There's a Goodwill shop that will train people up on how to fix cars. He gave them the car. He paid to have it towed there. They gave him a free pizza.
Nice. The third exit strategy is my mom's exit strategy, which is to crash the car.
Well, exit through the windshield. That's sketchy.
Right. So that was the exit for her. And
goodness.
So
she okay?
Yeah, so I thought my mom was getting junkers on purpose because she would inevitably like have kind of accident. It wasn't like she was T-boning somebody at 90 miles an hour because she was drunk. She just like needs to be super focused to drive, and she was always distracted because
of
us.
Yeah, some people have difficulty focusing, and it makes sense.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it wouldn't have to be a big accident even. It just needs to be enough that your insurance won't pay for the repair and they'll cut you a check.
And if you're driving junkers, like, it's unreliable anyway, so you're like, it's not worth it. Might as well just go get another junker. So the first car I remember, she had a Festiva.
Ooh.
And I was glad when that car went away because it smelled like beer. Not again, not because of my mom, but because my brother and I used to go to construction sites and pick up all the beer cans and recycle them and get money. And then, you know, the bottom of the bag would like leak. And so that car smelled really bad. She had a Geo Metro. I don't remember how that one crashed, but I do remember she had a 72 Malibu Chevy. And we called that thing the tank because it was so huge. It was so roomy compared to the little compact cars that we had before. And she crashed that car by rear-ending somebody else when she was taking my brother to Boy Scouts. And the other car hardly had any damage. But this car, like, the 72, the engine, like, came back into the car. So the hood,
passenger
like, folded.
Compartment?
Yeah. Goodness. So the hood folded, but it didn't, like, come into the passenger compartment. It just, like, moved back. I don't know.
It stayed inside the firewall.
Right.
Was this before Crumple Zones, or was this the Crumple Zone doing its job?
I don't know, 72 car design.
That's pretty old for Crumple Zones, goodness.
And then I also remember that the trunk exploded because it was, like, rusting, and so all the stuff that was in there just, like, upon impact, just, like, the trunk, just everything that was in there just came out of all the rust holes.
Wow! That sounds like the trunk in my Elantra. I'll make sure to... I'll get a camera, GoPro, so when I crash into somebody, I'll get the trunk explosion, too.
Like a fireworks display coming out the back, but, yeah,
goodness.
So, I remember that crash because of those. And then I remember the car was still drivable, but you couldn't see over the hood because it had crumpled in half.
Wait, the engine moved and the car is still drivable?
Still was drivable. Wow. Still was going somewhere.
Wow. Yeah,
72 Malibu Chevy. Yep. And then she had a Toyota Tercel, which was a manual. So that's the car I learned to drive manual on. And then I drove that into the ground because I wasn't very good at moving the manual. And then after that, she stopped crashing her cars because I started driving and I drove me and my brother. And so she stopped crashing her cars because she stopped being distracted by us.
Oh, maybe less about her ability to focus and more about you two needing the attention. Yeah, okay. Okay.
Constantly distracting her. And then after, yeah, she hasn't had an accident since.
I'm just imagining your mom being like, "You two shut up this instant or I'm ramming this car into something." And then she did.
Yeah. Yeah,
she
did? I mean, she would tell us, be quiet, stop fighting, all this stuff. And one time we were fighting in the car and she turned around and I don't remember what she said, but she put the fear of God into us because we were like, oh my gosh, we have to stop. We have to stop whatever we're doing. So my mom like screams at us, does whatever to get us to finally stop. And she drives past where she normally turns to take us to the babysitter. We say nothing, we're quiet. She drives past where she needs to turn, which is the last place you can turn to go to the babysitter. We stay quiet. She gets onto the highway. We stay quiet. She drives onto the interstate, 25 minutes to work. We are totally quiet. She drives to her work and pulls into the parking lot. We've never been to her work before. We were super excited, but we managed to be totally quiet. And so she pulled into her parking spot, turned around, and she was like, "You're still here?" And we were like, "Yeah." And she's like, "Oh, crap." So she runs inside. She tells them, "I have to drive my kids back." So she has to drive like the 30, 40 minutes back to drop us off at the babysitter's and then drive back to work. So after that, we tried to be a lot better for her. Well, I mean, I don't think we actually tried to be better. I think we were a lot more annoying, be like, "Hey, mom, you have to turn here. Hey, mom, don't forget, mom." You know, she was just a very focused driver. Like, if you were quiet, she was going to autopilot go be, yeah.
So next time your mom asks you if this is a push him in the bushes moment, you should just respond with, "Is this the right turn moment?"
Yeah. No, I don't. My mom doesn't drive anymore because she hates driving. Which
is reasonable.
I mean, she doesn't have accidents anymore since she doesn't drive kids in the car, but she just decided that she's done with driving anyway. But I remember when I started driving, how I was really excited to drive. I love driving. And when I was 16 and I would see my friends on the road, I would like honk and wave at them being like, oh my gosh, you know, and then my friends who are also excited to start driving would honk and wave back. So it was like this thing that we were doing all the time. And one time I pulled up behind my mom and I was looking at the license plate and looking and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's her. It's really her. So I start honking behind her and she doesn't acknowledge me at all. She doesn't do a wave. She doesn't slow down. She doesn't, you know, pull over so I could pull around. She does nothing. She keeps on driving. And then I'm like, but I know it's my mom and I'm driving and this is so exciting. So like the third or fourth stoplight that I'm honking and she's ignoring me, I run out of the car and run up to her.
What?
Her car. What? I'm so excited. And I run up to her car window and I'm like, hey, mom. And she goes, ah! Because she had no idea I was behind her or honking or anything. So I didn't know she had French fries, but those French fries just like blow everywhere over the front of her car. And then I'm like, oops, I'm sorry. And then I had to run back to my car because the light changed and I didn't want to annoy the people behind me.
They were already annoyed, I'm sure.
I know. When they saw me getting out of the car, they're like, oh, all right, already, this is a bad day. I need to get around whatever this nonsense is, this 16-year-old who is excited that she's buying her mom. Yeah, my poor mother.
My father still does this. I don't know how old he is, but he's legit old now, right?
Okay.
And if he sees me, he'll honk, he'll put on his blinkers, he'll pull over. So he does it halfway safely. But we'll be like at a stoplight and he'll roll down the window. And then like if I ignore him, I'll get a text. I'll be like, Dad, you know better than to text while you're driving. So like the safest out for me is roll down my window, honk back at him. He'll be like, oh, my baby Joey. I'm like, hi, Dad, we're driving. Look, people are honking at us. Let's go.
So, yeah, 80-year-old men, 16-year-old girls, we're all the same. We're very excited to see our friends. When we're driving, or our family members, and want people to notice us. Hey there, Penny Thinkers. This is the ad part of our show that you want to skip over, but I don't want you to skip it because I want you to help out people who have survived the LA fires. And we have this link for you, linkcuts.org/LA fires. If you go there, there's a Google spreadsheet that has a ton of different organizations to help out the victims of the LA fire. Would love if you could show your support for our show by supporting the survivors.
I don't know what you said, Shauna, but I wholeheartedly agree that we should help people in the LA fires. So yeah, was that linkcuts.org/LA fires, all lowercase?
Yeah, that is the link, linkcuts.org/LA fires.
Well, I support you think I am. Fires prevent money donate.
Did I just word salad?
If you didn't, I got lost.
Man, the important thing is linkcuts.org/LA fires. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to A Thought for Your Pennies, the show where we learn how to save money together. I'm Shauna, and this is Squeaky.
Hey, I'm Squeaky, and the $5 insurance actually doesn't cover everything. But maybe I shouldn't talk about
it. Well, thanks for that pro tip, Squeaky. We super appreciate it. This is episode 155 with savings on rental cars. So did you know, Squeaky, that rental car prices have increased by 48% since 2019?
Like, I didn't know that, but I presumed it wasn't just eggs.
That's right. That's according to NerdWallet. 48%, that's a pretty big price hike. So it's more important than ever to try and save when it comes to renting a car.
Yeah, that's a lot.
I think it's because, immediately after COVID restrictions were lifted, it was impossible to even rent a car due to the low inventory of car production. That I remember it was such a crisis for some major cities that even moving vans like U-Hauls were not available. Rental car rates since, even though car inventory has gone up, the rental car rates really have not fallen. But that's why we...
Yeah.
Yeah. Once they set that price, they're never like, oh, we're going to make this cheaper.
Yeah. Yeah. They never give it up willingly. Yeah.
So we're going to go over some ways that you can save, some simple things you can do to save money on your rental when you're traveling on family vacations or visiting home for the holidays.
You could hitchhike.
No, Squeaky, I'm not going to recommend that. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's like the safety thing, right?
I mean, I thought you were going to suggest a riding lawnmower share service or something like that, but...
That's so much better. You could hitchhike on a riding lawnmower.
Okay. Well, let me know when you organize that lawnmower ride sharing app to get you to all your important engagements. But no, the first tip we have is to book in advance. So rental car prices fluctuate. There's AI and everything now that's always looking to how they can charge you. So booking early secures lower rates, and you can use comparison sites like Expedia, Kayak, and AutoSlash.
That's so simple.
Yeah.
It's also that same trade-off we always talk about, time and money, right?
Right.
If you have to have a car today, you don't get to book in advance. But if you can plan and you're willing to put a little bit of time into it, you can save yourself money.
Yeah. And according to NerdWallet, booking early can save up to 30% on rental cars. So that's a big dent in the 48% rise of rental car costs since 2019 if you can book early.
All right. I think that kills the lawnmower rideshare. There's no way I'm saving 30%.
You can't beat that.
Nope.
It was a dream. Beautiful dream. Well, the other thing is, like I said earlier, is to check multiple rental companies and third-party booking platforms, but there's also peer-to-peer car rentals that are available now. I don't think they have riding lawnmower peer-to-peer sites, but there are car peer-to-peer renting sites. Some of the bigger websites are Turo, T-U-R-O, getaround.com is another one, and then Zipcar, which I think is more for short rides in the city, but these are in big cities, so these are all places where you can rent peer-to-peer.
I'm getting big, like, internet vibes, like, you wouldn't download a car, and you name it Zipcar, and like, what are we doing here? Would we download a car? I would download a car at this point. That's what this feels like, because you get an app or something, and you get a car, and it's, I guess they probably show up, or you go to them, and you downloaded a car, right? That's what's happening?
Yeah. And I have had just as good of a rental car experience on the peer sites as I have on rental cars. I booked on a Turo site once, and the person who was letting me rent their car came over and they put one of those toll transponders in the top of it, but they didn't load it right. So that meant that I actually had to pay $130 in New Jersey tolls when I rented this car. And then I tried to argue with Turo, being like, well, it's not my fault that the person who rented me the car didn't load the toll transponder thing right. And they were like, yeah, we don't care. You're responsible for all tolls, so pay up. Which is about what a rental car company would tell me anyway. So pretty standard there. Yeah. But this is according to Forbes. Third-party booking sites often have lower prices than the direct rental. So when you go to Kayak or Expedia, you are getting a cheaper rates by the comparison shopping. And Turo rentals can be up to 35% cheaper than traditional rental cars. And that's according to CNBC.
So just on the third-party rental places, just to make sure I'm picking up what you're saying. The direct rental places are like Enterprise and Hertz. You go to them, they rent you a car. You're saying Kayak and these other places, which we're not sponsored by any of these and we're not denouncing or promoting any of these, but just explaining, right? So there's the primary places. The secondary places, they like search listings and then you pay them money and then somehow they get you a car?
Yeah, they aggregate it. And I think so they show like, here's how much your car rental would be from Hertz. Here's how much it would be from Thrifty. Here's how much it would be from Enterprise. Here much it would be from this mom and pop rental shop that you have never heard of. They list it all out at once for the suggested dates. And I think they make money by the booking fees.
Yeah, I was going to ask how they make money because that's important, right? You want to know how they do that.
Right.
Because if they make money by, like, you know, torturing orphans, like, you don't want to give them your business.
No, don't want to be part of that. No, I think it's that they have a huge volume of traffic of people are like, oh, I know I can save if I comparison shop. So the rental car companies then want to list their cars to be able to get business.
Oh, that makes sense. That makes sense. At least as much sense as anything does nowadays.
Yeah. So my next tip is that if you want to save money on rental cars, you should skip airport rentals. Airport rentals. So that's like where you pick up the car at the airport. And I didn't know this either until I researched it for this episode, that airport rentals charge additional fees and surcharges.
Well, of course.
Yeah. So consider off-airport locations to get better deals. And you can use public transport or rideshare to get to the rental location.
It's just like beer at the stadium, right? You don't get beer at the stadium. You smuggle something in. You pretend to be a really fat guy with one of those pony kegs under your shirt, and you get way more beer for the same price.
Wow.
Financial advice brought to you by Squeaky.
That's right.
Definitely that won't get you in trouble.
That reminds me, there was an article about Lollapalooza where people knew where Lollapalooza was going to be set up, and so they buried a cache of alcohol before it was set up in the park in Chicago, and then they dug it up when they got into Lollapalooza to be able to drink. So now concert, you know, event people who are setting that stuff up are going to have to use like ground radar to dig everything up before they can charge you for the watered down Jack and Coke.
At some point, they just give it to you, though. Like, if you bury your car at the airport and dig it up, the security people, they're just going to golf clap. They're going to be like, you earned that $20 discount. Good for you.
Yeah. Well, so this is something I'm going to do now in the future, is skipping that airport rental, because according to Consumer Reports, airport rental locations often have fees that are 10 to 20% higher than the city locations.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if the pizza's expensive, why would the cars be cheap? That makes no sense. Do not take that. That is dumb advice.
I was going to get that tattooed. It was so profound.
You just skip the t-shirt and go straight to...
Straight to tattoo. In my flesh, on my body.
Right next to the pictures of your children.
The price of the car. I can't even remember what you said. I'll just...
If the pizza's expensive, why would the car be cheap?
There you go. Yep. Right there. Just like on my wrist.
This feels like we could turn it into a thing.
Let's not. Let's move on to the next tip instead, Squeaky. How about that? So another thing you can do is to take advantage of membership discounts. So there's lots of membership places that offer rental car discounts, including AAA, Costco Travel, AARP.
Costco rents cars?
Yeah, Costco has a travel section, and I don't think you need to be a Costco member to access their travel specials.
Well, Costco has cheap pizza. It's not as famous as the $1.50 hot dog. But the pizza's cheap, so the rentals are cheap. Okay, we've got two data points. Pretty soon it's going to be like a theory. Okay.
Yeah, I can see like all the articles pinned to your wall with the red yarn connecting the dots there for you, Squeaky.
I am a stable genius, thank you.
Well, AAA members save an average of 10% on rental cars. Of course, the source here is AAA, but look into those memberships.
That's sketch. Of course, okay. AAA says AAA saves you money, but that's a reasonable claim. 10% is not insane. They're not saying 80%. I don't know. Yeah. It's plausible.
Another thing to save money on rental cars is decline unnecessary add-ons and insurance. I think this one, everybody who's rented a car kind of knows. Rental companies upsell insurance, toll passes, gas tank refills. Usually, if you have comprehensive coverage for your car, that also covers you with any car you're driving, including a rental car. Make sure you check your policy before your travel.
Absolutely.
And according to the points guy, many credit cards offer rental car insurance, making extra coverage unnecessary. So don't get that upsell or that hard sell into buying the car rental insurance that they're selling you at the counter. Make sure that you have coverage through your credit card or through your private auto insurance that you have already.
No, that's great advice. That's good to know.
Yeah. Another thing is be flexible with the car type and the rental period. So the smallest cars, the smart cars, the compact cars, those are usually the cheapest option. Check in those big aggregators, check if you have flexible return dates and times, like if you're renting over the weekend versus weekday pricing, because some companies charge less for weekly rentals than daily rentals.
Well, that makes sense, because they know they're going to be making some money the whole time. They're willing to, you know, take a 10% hit or whatever to make money every day. That seems like good advice.
Yeah. According to Money.com, a weekly rental could be cheaper than a 4 or 5 day rental. Just make sure that you're booking with a company that won't charge you more if you turn in the car early.
What? That's a thing? You gave us our product back? What?
We'll go over into some of the scams that some rental car companies pull in our next segment, but this is one of the places where you do really want to read the fine print.
I'll give them a scam. I'll park it in the river. What are they doing? What is this? Ugh.
You can monitor prices and rebook if rates drop. You can use price tracking tools like AutoSlash, and many rentals allow free cancellations, so book early and rebook if the price goes down.
Wait, AutoSlash? Who named that? Do they own tires?
That is the rental car aggregator website that I recommended. It's autoslash.com.
That's a terrible name. That would be like, like imagine a restaurant, like a fine restaurant reviewer named Doritos. Like,
well,
I would not trust Doritos to rate Michelin starred restaurant. What is this? AutoSlash?
The car rental place that I booked my last rental car from said it was rent-a-car.com, but then the receipts when it got emailed to my email account said rent a wreck, and I was like,
wow,
names their car rental company rent a wreck, but
it's like Reliable Tires brought to you by tirepuncture.com. like, wow.
Yeah,
what
exactly.
is this?
I don't know. I clearly am not a successful small business owner, but so
I've been doing it wrong.
The logic behind them.
I need to start a software company called Bugs Incorporated. That's what I need to do.
And my final tip for you is vacation somewhere where you don't need to rent a car at all. Book a hotel that provides shuttle service to and from the airport. Do it in a dense area where you can have fun with your family without stressing out about a car and parking. There's lots of big cities that have really great transportation, and you can have a good time without renting a car.
Yeah, you're talking like get like a metro card or something and like get the subway or the buses, all that. Yeah. Or just go someplace that's actually interesting. Because like if you came to Omaha, that's terrible advice.
Right? No, like, I would have an amazing weekend in Omaha, Nebraska, flying into the airport, getting a hotel that has shuttle service in the Old Market, taking public transportation to the zoo, the Joslin, the Western Heritage Museum. Like, I could have an amazing weekend in Omaha without a car.
Yeah, right up until your friends and family invited you 1 mile left.
You tell them, come and get me, because I'm at the zoo. So that's it on all the tips we have to save on renting a car. You know, booking early, compare those prices, skip unnecessary add-ons, use your discounts, and make sure that you are planning ahead to be flexible for the best savings.
Well, thank you. I learned a ton, especially about business naming.
If you have great ideas, if you have other great tips on renting cars or stories you want us to share on air, email us at athoughtforyourpenniespod@gmail.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Thought for Your Pennies. I'm Shauna, and this is Squeaky.
Hey, I managed to save 2 pennies, and I'm going to donate them to the survivor of the LA fires.
The one survivor's getting both your pennies. That's so generous, Squeaky. God, can't keep
up. That's right. I'll find a few more pennies and donate to the survivors at linkcuts.org/LA fires.
Yep. Helping each other out whenever there are problems is a great thing we should all be doing, even if we can't make it through a simple ad read without laughing.
Hey, listeners, welcome back to A Thought for Your Pennies, the show where we learn how to save money together. I'm Shauna, and this is Squeaky.
Hey, I'm Squeaky, and no matter how many times Shauna tells me, I won't lampshade my jokes.
Well, we'll all try to figure out together what that means. This is episode 155, where we're going over rental car scams, Squeaky, which unfortunately is increasing.
You mentioned in the last segment that just supply was down and prices are up. That means there's more money floating around and less legitimacy. So, okay, that makes sense. How are they going to get?
Well, this is how they almost got me, okay? I was going on a work trip, and so I needed to get a car at the last minute. So already in danger territory. And on the big aggregator website, it was really hard to find a car. And here's the other mistake I was making. I was trying to get a car at the airport and there was not any cars there. And so I was in a rush. I picked up the car at 6 a.m. I just signed everything and, you know, drove off the car. That night, I look closely. I actually read the fine print. And I realized that I signed a contract for a rental car that would have hit me with a $2,500 fee if I drove the car out of state.
What? You're almost better off. No, you are just better off buying a beater. What the heck?
Yeah. And I booked it through Expedia, and Expedia's contract said there was unlimited mileage, but the contract they sent me said that there was a 50-mile limit. And that I was subject to $199 per mile over the limit.
Where the heck, what city was this, if you're comfortable sharing?
It was Texas.
Okay, because like, okay, it's one thing if it's like El Paso, because there's like a different country right there. I guess that counts as out of state. But if it's like Dallas, you're like in the middle of the state. Are you leaving Texas? Is that possible?
Well, I did have to travel 130 miles, and I didn't leave the state because I didn't want to get hit with that fine, so I had to figure out some arrangements at the last minute. Yeah, I got a lawnmower. This is where the lawnmower idea came from. I was like, riding over to Louisiana in style. Well, and I was worried about the over the 50-mile limit because it was going to cost me $300 extra for this rental car. So
is it a hard limit or like a soft limit? Like every mile beyond the 50th was a buck or something.
Every mile beyond the 50th was $1.99, according to the contract.
That's not a hard limit, but man, that feels hard.
Yeah. So it goes to show with rental car companies, read the fine print before you sign it. I was lucky because when I turned the car back in, I was like, look, I booked this through Expedia. And the Expedia contract has unlimited mileage. And they were like, you're right. We won't charge you the extra money. But it was like white knuckling it, driving it back there, being like, why did I sign this really scummy contract? I can't believe I did this. But this brings me to my first point about rental car scams. how to avoid it is that if you're booking a rental car off of an aggregator website with reviews, so Expedia like shows customer reviews of each rental car company. Yeah. And so I would say book with companies that have a 70% or higher approval rate. I usually do this, but on this trip, I was desperate for a car. And so I booked with a company that only had a 53% approval rating. And so after I read the fine print on my contract, I was like, oh, right, this is why people don't like this company, because they have been hit hard with these extra fees and the tiny print.
So renting cars is way more loose than buying other things online. Because if I'm like getting new cell phone coverage or buying new pants or anything, right? If it's not like 4.8 stars out of 5, I'm just clicking to the next one. So like you're saying we can go down. We can go down to like, what's 70%? 3.5 stars?
Yeah, I haven't, typically 70% or above, I haven't had an issue, because I feel like rental car companies is also where people legit like drive it into the river and they're like, why are they mad at me? I shouldn't have to pay this, you know? So I kind of give the rental car companies a little bit of grace.
The thing I bring up as a joke is the thing actual people are doing. Okay.
Yep. Maybe. They're like, you can still drive. It doesn't matter if it went through the river. Yeah, I don't know. So 70% and above, I really haven't had an issue. But, you know, have your own standards. Talk to an expert. I'm not an expert. This is just me as your friend saying, hey, this works for me, you know?
It might be reasonable, right? Like, how bad do pants have to be for people to go back up to the webpage and say, these pants suck? It has to be really terrible pants. Like, the pants have to be charging you for every mile beyond the 50th, right?
Yeah. Your 53rd mile in these pants. You better. Anyway. All right. So another thing that rental car scamming kind of can do is false damage claims.
Ooh.
So this comes from consumerrescue.org. A story about a customer returned a vehicle without any issues, but later received a bill for a shattered window.
This is, I don't know if you're about to suggest this, but whenever I rent a car, I take pictures before and after of at least the six angles, right? Left, right, front, back, right, all that. So even a little bit under the bottom. I mean, you can't get all the way under there, but I try, right? And it saved me a couple times because they're like, this scratches, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, look at the date on this. And I just argue it out with them. And they're like, here's a photo. We're not going to screw with it. And usually I talk them down. Like, what happened? What do you suggest? You have real advice. You have, like, probably a system.
Well, I mean, no, the first thing they suggest is the same thing. Timestamp, photo, video, document the car's condition, conduct a thorough inspection of the vehicle before and after rental. So this is like, you have to take time to really look at the car to make sure that you don't get ripped off with them claiming a damage that you did not do.
Makes sense. It's the time-money trade-off. You're just buying into this. Yep.
Yeah. And another thing that is recommended is to request a signed acknowledgement from the company confirming the vehicle's state upon return. So it sounds like that's kind of what you were doing when you returned something. They're like, this scratch. And you're like, nope, here's a photo. I want a receipt saying I returned it in good condition.
Okay, yeah, yeah. It sounds like about that, but I think mine had more yelling. But yeah, yeah. Do what Shauna said. Yeah.
Okay, all right. And we talked about this last time, but again, another scam is the unnecessary insurance. You get pressured as a renter into purchasing additional insurance, even when you're already covered through your private auto insurance or on your credit card.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes companies will use misleading statements, that's according to financialtimes.com, about things. Yes.
Companies misleading you. Do tell me more. I've never witnessed this once in my life.
Right.
Yeah, trust yet verify.
Trust but verify, right. So again, make sure your auto insurance, if you have comprehensive, that it applies to any car you drive, including rental cars. Say no thank you for the additional insurance, no matter how many times they offer it. All right, another scammy thing, if you're ready, Squeaky. This is according to The Sun. Getting fuel charges and refueling scams, where you may be charged exorbitant fees for refueling, even if you return the car with a full tank. There was an example of somebody was charged $118 for fuel, despite that they returned it with a tank, and they had a lot of issues disputing this charge.
No, this is the part where we need to say allegedly, right?
Allegedly.
We weren't there, we didn't do it, but we've all lived this, right? We've been at the company that just disagrees with our, like, you know, lived experience.
With our logic. And so to prevent this from happening to you, always refill the gas tank before returning the vehicle. Keep your fuel receipt as evidence, and take a photo, timestamp photo, of the fuel gauge upon return. So another thing you should be on the lookout for, and this honestly is the one that scares me the most, which is a false report of a stolen vehicle where you return the rented car and they were like, you stole this rental car. And this led to people actually getting arrested for stealing a rental car.
Let me guess. They found the rental car like 4 days later at the back of the lot?
Yeah, this is according to CBSNews.com of customers allege false arrest lawsuits. So
disgusting.
I cannot imagine getting arrested for returning a rental car, them losing the car in their own inventory, and then me going to jail for it.
It's the kind of thing where you show the cops, look, I have photos, and the cops like, ugh, we wish this was civil. Put out your hands. We're cuffing you anyway.
Yeah, you're going to have to show this one to the judge. My goodness.
Ugh, gross.
Because it's like, yeah, if it's a $50,000 car or something like that, yeah, they can't just be like, oh, we like your photos on your phone. That's evidence enough for us. They have to bring you in, I guess. I don't know. So there's lots of lawsuits that go on about that.
I have to presume that in a reasonable system. Yep, you're right. Never mind. I'm done. The statement's complete there. We're not in a reasonable system. Presuming this is reasonable, right? Presuming something reasonable happened here. I would have to imagine there's a process where rental car companies start with like a strongly worded letter. And they're like, return the rental car. And then when you write them back, right, there you start building this document chain of like, hey, I assert I returned it or I didn't. And then eventually that goes to a judge who issues an arrest warrant. But like, that would make way too much sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah. So here's how you protect yourself from that. Make sure that rental agreements are properly documented and copies are retained. And I think this goes to your point, maintain open communication with the rental company, especially if you're extending the rental period. So I could see where they try to contact you to say, hey, we can't find the car. And if you're just like, I don't care, I'm not responding to this. And then they're like, okay, no choice. We have to arrest them because we can't find the car.
Like 3 hours later, the cops are showing up. You're like, yeah. I was just grabbing Taco Bell. I was bringing the car back.
Yeah,
I found this new Baja Blast margarita.
I do not ever want to try that, but I'm glad it exists. It makes me feel like there's still whimsy in the world.
Whimsy is what we're going with.
The Baja Blast margarita. Very whimsical to me.
Rated and reviewed by Dorito, the fine restaurant.
You know, this is going to end up with us doing like an episode from a Taco Bell cantina sipping margaritas.
It has to at this point.
It has to, right?
Yeah.
The prophecy has been set. Okay, make sure you know your legal rights when it comes to rental car companies. Consult an attorney if falsely accused.
Sounds like a good idea. Lawyer up.
Lawyer up. And the last scam, I think, which is a perennial scam we always talk about, is the fake company taking online money. Where scammers create fake rental companies with enticing deals to steal personal information and your money. This is according to the Better Business Bureau, where consumers have reported being directed to purchase prepaid cards, Apple's iTunes gift cards to secure. I'm joking, that's an exaggeration, but you know, prepaid cards to secure rentals only to lose their money to a fraudulent entity. So to prevent this, research and book through reputable rental car companies. Be cautious of deals that are too good to be true. Avoid making payments via unconventional methods like prepaid cards or wire transfers.
All this comes down to a lack of consumer protection, doesn't it?
Well, I have some additional resources. The Federal Trade Commission has advice on rental car scams, so you can go to that website to look up what rental car scams are and how to protect yourself. There's some various law firms that specialize in this kind of thing and will tell you your rights about if you can sue a rental car company if they report that you stole the car.
Yeah, makes sense. If you've got a lawyer up, get the right lawyer. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's the rental car scams episode. Learned a lot. And if you have something you want us to share about a time that you got scammed with a rental car, email us at athoughtforyourpenniespod@gmail.com. We'll share it on air so that we can all save money together.
Yeah. Thanks. I learned a ton, Shauna. Thank you.
You're welcome.